We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. So there are some people that are very upset with CNN because there was a debate a couple of nights ago. There was another Democratic debate. I think it was debate number 273 so far. And some people who watched it believe that there was bias against Bernie Sanders. And so the hashtag over the last couple of days, hashtag CNN is trash, was trending for that perceived bias against the old man Bernie Sanders. And, you know, he's the senator from Vermont who should have been the Democratic nominee in 2016. But because the Democratic Party was so hell-bent on Hillary Clinton, they just pushed Bernie out of the way.
Yeah, they conspired against him, actually. It was
Wasserman yeah, Schultz
was feeding debate questions to Hillary, trying to squeeze Bernie out.
Yeah, that was just one of the things they did. The Democratic Party did not want Bernie Sanders to represent them in 2016. And it makes you wonder what would have happened if he was the nominee. Would he have done better against Donald Trump? And again, he's a senator from Vermont. And in this last episode, Elizabeth Warren, and by the way, Elizabeth Warren, the senator from Massachusetts, her and Bernie Sanders, along with Joe Biden and the former mayor of South Bend, Indiana, Pete Buttigieg, they are at the top of the list when it comes to who's going to run against Donald Trump this coming November. But Elizabeth Warren is, and she's got plenty of her own baggage, you know, running around most of her life telling people that she's a Native American. She's got baggage too. But she's saying that Bernie Sanders told her that a woman could not win when it comes to being president of the United States. He flat out denies it. And again, this is kind of like watching your grandparents fight against each other. And now you put that on top of the fact that that there are people that are unhappy with CNN. You could just add these people to the list of people, because there's people on the right side of the political aisle that have been mad at CNN for a very long time, and now all of a sudden, when you see people on the left side of the aisle starting a hashtag CNN is trash, which is now trending, because they believe that that there was some bias against Bernie Sanders at the Democratic debate the other night.
But the way it unfolded, it seems like CNN was the one that stoked the fire. It happened. It was a show with like a panel, and the panel had a correspondent that said, "Well, we have sources that say that there was a meeting between Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren, and in that meeting, Bernie Sanders told Elizabeth Warren that a woman couldn't win." Now, that was from a source based on the CNN panel, so they asked Elizabeth Warren about it. She said she wasn't going to comment on it. Then they asked Bernie Sanders about it, and he flat out denied it. And yeah, then when he denied it, that's when Elizabeth Warren came back around and said, well, actually, he did say something similar to that, but once again, it comes from an anonymous source that is unnamed, so it seems like CNN is poking fire at it. Now, Tulsi, the sexy one, She's the one that said, well, she also met with Bernie Sanders and he was all for it. He's like, yeah, you can do it. You know, knock yourself out. Mm-hmm. The Hawaiian hottie.
Yeah, yeah. Well, look, I think it's just interesting to see this going on with two people politically that are a lot alike. They are very far to the political left. They believe if it was up to them, both Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren, they'd wipe out everyone's college debt. Everyone would have free health care. And we all know that someone has to pay for that college debt. Someone has to pay for that free health care. So it's interesting to see them getting at each other like they are.
Yeah, I have to go with Bernie on this one. I don't think he said it. He also said that Cardi B should consider running for something like a congresswoman or a senator.
He did say that, and he also said he liked her backside.
Yeah.
I might be wrong on that one. Coming up, you know, speaking of Washington, D.C., guess which college football team is going to Washington, D.C. tomorrow? And they're going to meet the President of the United States. Well, it's not Clemson. Stay tuned for that report and a lot more coming up. Good morning here on Bayou 95.7.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. Bud Light has a new flavor of a beer. Well, I don't know if it's totally new, but something about it is new that they are now selling it in cans. You can buy a can of this type of Bud Light beer. But the television commercial that they produced has been rejected by all networks because they don't like it. And I want you to listen to the new Bud Light commercial for their new type of beer in a can. And I want you to just think about it for a second, and I want you to think, do you agree or disagree with this commercial being rejected by all the television networks?
I got it in the can for the first time last night. I loved it.
I never thought I'd enjoy getting it in the can as much as I do. I was wrong.
I gave it to my boss in the can.
Right after this game, I'm getting it in the can.
I've only had it in the can once, but I'm definitely getting it in the can again.
I've been giving it to everyone in the can in a week.
I'm gonna get it in the can in about 5 minutes.
I've lost track how many times I've had it in the can.
Who told you I like it in the can?
I didn't expect to get it in the can at the company party, but one thing led to another, and sure enough, there I was, getting it in the can.
So Bud Light, they're offering, I believe it's Bud Light Lime, that they're saying, hey, we now serve it in the can, well, in cans. You prefer your beer, Coleman, do you prefer your beer in a bottle or do you prefer it in the can?
It's weird. It depends on what type of beer it is. See, my IPAs, like them in a bottle. My lagers, I like them in a plastic cup for some reason. Everything else, I could take it in the can.
I don't know if I have a preference. I mean, I enjoy it in the can,
mm-hmm.
As well. whether it's beer or soda. I don't know. I think I prefer it in the can, although I do like the glass bottle over the plastic bottle.
Now, soda's the only thing that I take it in the can, because I've never had soda in a bottle before. That was before my time. I mean, they still serve it in a bottle, but, you know, never had it in a bottle before. Always in a can.
I think I'm dating myself a little bit here, but I remember when I was a kid, soda machines where you'd put the money in, you'd open like a door, and then you would pull the bottle out. Yeah. But we don't really have those anymore.
No, now you just slip a coin in a slot and it drops out. You can take it in the can after that.
Mm. So do you agree with the television networks and who rejected that commercial? And you know, when they reject commercials, that's a pretty big deal, because Bud Light wants to pay them lots of money to air their commercial, their advertisement, their ad for that product. And I guess they just saw that commercial, heard that commercial, and they said, we
rejected.
Yeah, we don't want your money.
I think they have like a focus group or something like that before they air these ads. They grab a bunch of people from different demographics, and they have them watch different types of commercials, and they give them their opinions on it. I think that's how advertisers decide whether they should air something in the network.
I don't think they took that commercial to a focus group. I think whoever is in charge of the networks, whoever's in charge of making those decisions, I think they watched that commercial and they said, wait a minute, we're not going to take your money for this. We see what you're trying to do there.
I don't know what they were trying to do. They were trying to sell beer in a can. I don't see anything wrong with trying to sell beer in a can. You know? Craziness.
Well, we'll see what their next advertising idea is over there at Bud Light. Coming up on the show, boy, Joe Burrow is making all kinds of news, and as he should. I mean, when you had the season that Joe Burrow had, the record-breaking season, the LSU quarterback not only won the Heisman Trophy, but he broke the single-season record for most touchdowns passed, most touchdown passes with 60 of them. He ran in 5 touchdowns this year too. So the 65 touchdowns, total touchdowns he scored, were the most total touchdowns in NCAA history for a season, single season. And he had the most passing yards.
And the one I can't forget,
He broke the record.
He completed his own pass. That's the most amazing thing that I've seen this season so far.
He did that earlier in the season. And since he's going to be the number one overall draft pick in the Cincinnati Bengals, that horrible organization, they're a bunch of cheapskates and just not a good organization. But that's his home state, Ohio. That's where he's from. So he's already angered people in Cincinnati, and he hasn't even been drafted by them yet. Obviously,
oh,
he hasn't.
Here we go.
We'll tell you what he did to piss off a bunch of people in Cincinnati coming up next on the show. Here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock. Just read where America's most expensive hotel suite is the Palms Casino. America's most expensive hotel suite is at Palms Casino in Las Vegas. It's $200,000 a night. The place is so fancy, the housekeepers are legal immigrants. You know, they say that suite would cost a little bit more, but it happens to be right next to the ice machine on that floor of the Palms Hotel out there in Las Vegas. All right, coming up next, Joe Burrow, the Ohio native, and he's going to be the number one overall draft pick by the Cincinnati Bengals in the upcoming NFL draft. The old LSU Heisman quarterback, he's already angered a bunch of people in the Cincinnati area. And he hasn't even played it down there yet. We'll tell you why coming up next here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. So Joe Burrow, the Heisman Trophy winner, who just had the greatest college football season that any college quarterback has ever had. And I know some people would say, and they'd bring up a few other guys, but nobody threw for more touchdown passes this year than Joe Burrow. Nobody in college football history threw for more touchdown passes in a single season than Joe Burrow did this season, when he threw 60 of them. 60! And then he ran in another 5 touchdowns. So that's 65 total touchdowns. No one has ever done that either. No one's ever had 65 touchdowns in one season. He broke the single season record for passing yards by a college quarterback. Just absolutely incredible. And Joe Burrow is going to be the number one overall pick in this spring's upcoming NFL draft. And the Cincinnati Bengals, since they are so bad, they are going to pick him number one. And it kind of stinks because they are probably, and I don't even think probably can be said. I think you can take the word probably out. They're the worst organization in the NFL. Their owner, Mike Brown, is known as the biggest cheapskate. Right up until a couple of years ago, they were practicing at a high school field, I think they had used practice uniforms. I mean, he's really, he pinches pennies. He's really a tight wad, the owner of the Cincinnati Bengals. And they're just a second-rate organization. The new stadium they have there that they've been playing in the last few years in Cincinnati, he made the taxpayers pay for it there. It's one of the biggest boondoggles. It's one of the biggest financial boondoggles that has ever been done. It's just not a good organization, the Cincinnati Bengals. And hopefully Joe Burrow will be able to overcome that and still be great. But even though they haven't picked him yet, and even though he's an Ohio native, he's already angered a bunch of people in the Cincinnati area.
What did he do this time?
Well, Coleman, they dug up a past tweet. How many times have we seen people's past tweets doom them, get them in trouble?
Last year, 2019, I'd have to say about 7 different people.
Those are just the ones that are famous that we know about.
Yeah, Kevin Hart comes to mind.
But there are a lot of people that have posted on Twitter and in the past and that has come back to haunt them, things that they have said. Well, Joe Burrow tweeted back in February of 2018, so almost 2 years ago, he tweeted, "Just a reminder that Skyline is terrible. That is all." That was his tweet. And he was talking about Skyline Chili. I guess he was eating Skyline Chili and he didn't like it. And his tweet was, "Just a reminder that Skyline is terrible. That is all." By the way, that tweet got liked 2,148 times. Here's the problem. Skyline Chili is Cincinnati's signature dish. and Skyline Chili is a chili that they make in Cincinnati. And you know what they put it over? I mean, they put it on everything. By the way, for the record, I love chili. Coleman, are you a chili fan?
Of course. Yeah. Especially spicy chili with jalapeno peppers in it.
Yeah, I like chili. I'm a big chili fan. Like chili dogs.
I don't do chili and cheese, though, just chili.
Well, because you don't do cheese.
Yeah, I don't like cheese too
much. Coleman, you're one of the only human beings I've ever met that does not like cheese. As a matter of fact, when you and I get pizza. We've gone out and gotten pizza a few times.
Mm-hmm.
And you always want your half of the pizza to have
very light cheese,
as bare minimum cheese as possible.
Yeah, I can't do cheese.
You're the only human being that I've ever met, and even not only meeting, you're the only human being that I have ever heard of that does not like cheese.
Yeah, it makes it very awkward when you go to a friend's house and they just assume you eat cheese. They're like, "Yeah, I made macaroni and cheese," and they just stick it in front of your face. And you have to disappoint them, like, "Yeah, I kind of don't eat cheese. I hated it. I think it sucks."
I can't imagine another human being not liking macaroni and cheese.
I can't stand cheese. Cheese and white milk for some reason. I can do chocolate milk. And what's weird is I can eat Cheez-Its and I can eat Doritos. So I don't know what it is about actual cheese that, I don't know if it's the texture or something about cheese. I just can't do it. Velveeta, Mac and Kraft. Slices.
See, I knew that about the cheese, but I just learned something because you're a black guy. You don't like white milk, but you do like chocolate milk.
Yeah.
Well, anyways, getting back to Joe Burrow. People around in and around Cincinnati aren't happy because of a tweet he made 2 years ago. Just a reminder that Skyline is terrible. That is all. Now, look, I've never had Skyline chili, which is, I guess, comes out of Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm.
But there are a lot of people that aren't happy about that. And you know what they do there in Cincinnati with that Skyline chili? You know what one of their most popular dishes is there with that? They put it over spaghetti.
You know what? That can work.
I mean, it sounds good.
Yeah.
But usually when you think of spaghetti, there's only pretty much one kind of sauce, you know, you
marinara.
Yeah, you put marinara sauce or meat sauce.
Now, see, that's something I'd actually try. At first, I thought they was going to do something gross because it is Cincinnati, but chili on spaghetti, I'm intrigued. I would like to, I'd have to give that a shot.
You know, that would be like here in New Orleans, Joe Burrow saying, "Boy, I drank that Abita, and it's terrible." Could you imagine that, huh? What do you mean, Joe Burrow? Say it ain't so, Joe. Or that'd be like him saying, "Oh, man, Blue Runner red beans are terrible."
Yeah.
What are you talking about, Joe Burrow? What's the matter with you? But he didn't say that. I'm just trying to, you know, whenever we do a story here on the show, I always try to put myself in the position of the people or the food. That we're talking
about. And I want to figure out, who are these people that decide to go all the way back in time to find this stuff? Like, when somebody hits the spotlight, whether it's Joe Burrow or it's Drew Brees or it's Kevin Hart, when somebody hits the spotlight, did they do it with Zion? Like, they just go back and scour their past social media posts just to find something that they could throw out as a story to do. And there's always something negative. They never go back 4 or 5 years and find a positive tweet and show that. They
no, because good news doesn't sell, Coleman. Only bad news sells. Why do you think the news, if you ever watch the news, especially the national news, you know, the top 5 or 6 stories, you go to a national news website. I mean, go look at CNN.com. Look at their first 5 stories. I mean, it's death, destruction. It's one bad thing after another. Evidently, that's what sells.
Yep. And the bad chili is the worst tweet he ever tweeted. Well, he's doing pretty good by comparison.
And not that long ago on the show, a few months ago, we told you the story about the Iowa college student who all he did one day when ESPN's College Game Day showed up at Iowa State University, where he went to college, he held up a sign saying, "Send me Bud Light" or something like that.
Yeah.
And the next thing you know, between Bud Light or whoever it was, they were matching donations. They raised a couple of $1 million for the Children's Hospital there in Iowa. But then once that guy became famous for that, someone went and looked at his Twitter and went back a few years and found some questionable tweets that he made. I mean, the guy just helped donate millions of dollars to sick children in the children's hospital, and here are people trying to take them down.
And I remember that because the person that the news person that released his tweets, they found something about her that she said about Asians like 6 years ago prior to that. So
ended up losing their job.
Right. So
Isn't it incredible? This is the world we're living in here in 2020. On Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7. New Orleans only classic rock. Saw this headline and I found it interesting. Most people reach peak for being miserable around age 47, according to a new study. I wonder why 47 happens to be the age that that most people reach their peak for being miserable.
I wonder what takes them so long. I think I reached my peak of being miserable around, I don't know, 17.
That's too young to be miserable, Coleman. Come on, really? Geez, when you're 17.
Well, here's why. When you're 18, you become accountable for your own actions. See, you become an adult. Your parents no longer have to take care of you. So I think that's when I became miserable, when I realized, oh, boy, I have to be responsible, get my life together.
Well, it says here the dreaded midlife crisis may come about because it coincides with life's peak time for misery, according to a study released. They say age 47, according to the person who conducted this study. He's a professor at Dartmouth College up there in New Hampshire. You know, that's Ivy League. And he's a former Bank of England policymaker, a guy by the name of David Blanchflower. He led this study. He says that after examining trends in 132 countries to compare the relationship between well-being and age, he figures, he did all the numbers, he did all the math, and pretty smart guy. He said it's about age 47 is the peak of misery.
I guess that's around the age you start to come to grips with your mortality. You know, 47 and when you turn 50, you start getting the AARP letters in your mail. Then it starts to sink in like, whoa, I lived half a century.
Look, I see what you're saying about the AARP letters coming. But what's really the difference between 45, 46, 47? Maybe 47, you know, because now you're on the other side of the halfway point in between when it comes to 45 years old, mid-40s, and 50, the big number 50.
You know what else it could be? Most people who are at that age, if they haven't reached their life goals yet and they start to look back at all the time they wasted, like the reality starts to sink in. So we were talking about that Joe Brady, how he's only 30 years old. I don't think he's going to be miserable at 47. You know what I mean? Because he's already getting his life together. And we were talking about the anxiety story with women, how they lose sleep because they were told how they can achieve all these things. And now when they get to that certain age, the reality sets in like, damn, I didn't achieve what I set to achieve, and I'm losing out on daylight time, you know?
Yeah, we've talked about that on the show. Absolutely. I still can't believe Joe Brady. It's great that the passing coordinator for LSU's offense this year, Joe Brady, 30 years old. I mean, you talk about young. And we knew he was going to go on to and just keep climbing the ladder.
Mm-hmm.
But did he have to go to the Carolina Panthers in the Saints division where the Saints are going to have to face Joe Brady's offense twice a year now?
They made him an offer he couldn't refuse.
Yeah. Well, anyways, this study just came out saying most people reach the peak for being miserable around age 47. So does that mean things get better at the older you get? Because if you peak at being miserable at 47... Maybe after, you know, 57, maybe you're not as miserable at that point because you've already reached your peak.
That's a good point. It might plateau. Like, it might, you reach your peak misery, then you just plateau at that, and this is a straight line or it declines.
Yeah, according to this study. Interesting, Coleman. All right, coming up next, we will look at today in history. And on this show, we call the segment Why Today Doesn't Suck, and we hope you'll stay tuned for that report. Suck is next! Here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7. New Orleans' only classic rock. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. Time for us now to look at today in history. And we call the segment,
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
January 16th.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
It was today in 2009. Boy George was sentenced to 15 months in prison after being convicted of falsely imprisoning a male escort. Yeah, talk about a nightmare. I mean, you're a male escort, all right? And you get a call to go somewhere, and you show up, and there's Boy George. And this is 2009 Boy George.
Oh, no, not the hot 80s Boy George.
But, and the next thing you know, he chained you up in his place, falsely imprisoning you. And it took that guy a little while to get out of there.
See, once again, when Boy George called the escort service, he was supposed to give him the designated safe word. If you don't say the safe word, you just have to sit there and be chained up.
Yeah, but you talk about nightmares. Those are things that I have nightmares about, being chained up, falsely imprisoned by Boy George in 2009. And anyways, like I said, it was today that he was sentenced to 15 months in prison for doing that. January 16th.
Why today doesn't suck?
It was today in 1945. Adolf Hitler descends into his bunker. beginning of the end for that SOB. That's when Adolf Hitler, he took to his underground bunker, where he ended up staying for 105 days until that coward committed suicide.
Now, he was there with his like niece or something like that, or somebody.
Well, it was his woman,
but also like his woman was sort of like related to him. If I recall correctly.
Nah, I'm not sure they were related. Well, do you know what the ironic thing about Adolf Hitler is? You look at his family tree.
Mm-hmm.
There was some Jewish blood in his family.
Oh no, he was not an Aryan at all. He didn't have blonde hair or blue eyes. But the one thing I can say about him, and I'm not condoning his actions, this guy unified an entire country with just one testicle. Most of us have two testicles, and we can't even work a 60-hour work week.
I knew he was a nut, but Hitler only had one.
He only had one testicle.
How about that? But you see pictures of him walking. It looks like the old black and white footage. It looks like he walks fairly straight. I always heard when guys only have one testicle that they kind of walk funny.
Yeah.
The equilibrium's off. You kind of lean one way. Or...
I think his mustache balanced it out.
All right. January 16th.
Why today doesn't suck?
Boy, this is an interesting day. In a couple of different years, for the legend that is Paul McCartney. It was today in 1980, Paul McCartney was jailed for 9 days in Tokyo, Japan for marijuana possession. They caught him with 219 grams on his arrival into Japan, to the airport there. And then January, 16th?
Why today doesn't suck?
A few years later, in 1984, 4 years later after that, Paul McCartney and his wife, Linda McCartney, were arrested in Barbados.
Wow.
For drug possession. And they were each fined $200.
He should just stay inside from every 16th after that.
Well, and it was always weed. Paul McCartney loved his weed. And I just read something, I think he said he just stopped smoking weed.
I think that was Willie Nelson that said
Well, he did too.
Yeah, okay.
But I guess once you get into your 70s and pushing 80, maybe it doesn't do it for you like it used to. Or in Willie Nelson's case, he's having a tough time breathing.
Maybe
switch to edibles, brownies or something.
January 16th seemed to be like a vacation deal for him because he's always in some other country smoking weed. So maybe it's like his wedding anniversary or something like that, because he's always in some country smoking weed getting lit.
Mm. And finally, January 16th.
Why today doesn't suck?
Suckers. It was today in 1979. Greg Allman from the Allman Brothers and Cher, their divorce was finalized. They got divorced today. It became legal in 1979. That was some couple back in the day. And, you know, they had a son together. And if you go back and if you look at a video of one of Cher's biggest hits, I think it might have been the song Turn Back Time. I'm not sure about that. But she's up there dancing around and basically she's in her underwear and you can see her backside, and their son was playing guitar in that video. So he's right next to his mother, and there's his mother's, extremely scantily clad. It made a lot of people uncomfortable. I could just imagine what being right next to your mother and seeing your mother incredibly scantily clad like that, where you could see her pretty much complete backside. Kind of strange.
Can't be no worse than Madonna's or Pamela Anderson's kids, you know?
Well, there's our segment that we call
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
Hey, coming up, I will tell you where you can get your picture taken with LSU's National Collegiate Football Championship Trophy. We will tell you because they're going to let you do that if you want to. Stay tuned for that coming up here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. So if you want to get your picture taken with the national championship trophy that LSU just won for being the best college football team, not only this year, but in my opinion, they've got to be considered the best college football team ever. Beaten 7 top 10 teams. No, who's done that before? Get the Heisman Trophy winning quarterback, breaking records for touchdown passes and touchdowns scored and passing yards in a season. You can get your picture taken with the national championship trophy today. It is going to be in Baton Rouge at Walmart on College Drive this afternoon from 4 to 7 p.m. They'll have the national championship trophy there, and you can go there and get your picture taken with it.
That was anticlimactic. I thought it was going to be on the steps of City Hall or something like that. Doing it at a Walmart?
Yeah, I think it's aisle 7.
Oh, okay.
At Walmart up there. And again, today, Walmart on College Drive in Baton Rouge from 4 to 7 p.m. I hope it makes its way down to the New Orleans area. Be pretty cool to go get your picture taken with the national championship trophy, huh?
I mean, they just came to New Orleans, so why would they bring it all the way back just for some of us to get a photo op? We had that opportunity. Well, we didn't have the opportunity Monday, but I don't think they're going to bring it to New Orleans.
Oh, I think it'll make a tour around the state. I do.
Okay.
So fans from every different part of the state of Louisiana will have the opportunity. This is just the first one. Nobody had the opportunity on Monday night, Coleman. They just won the thing. They wanted to get their picture taken with it first, and that took a little bit of time. And now it'll be, I'm sure the championship trophy will make a tour.
It'll be the championship Walmart tour. It'll go to the Walmart on the West Bank, then come to the one over here on the East Bank. And
better be careful if they bring it to the one here in New Orleans on Chapultepec. There's all kinds of stuff happens over there. I don't want the thing to get stolen. But that's my Walmart, by the way, the one on Chapultepec. I was just there the other day. And so not only can you get your picture taken with the championship trophy on today, but tomorrow, LSU football team is going to the White House, and they're gonna go hang out at the White House, and then on Saturday, they're gonna be back in Baton Rouge and they're having a parade. Right near the campus, the LSU football team. So this is what happens. This is what happens when you have the greatest college football team in the history of the sport, and you win. This is the kind of thing that happens, and so they're going to be busy the next few days.
There's a guy on Twitter named Applebaum. He was a college professor somewhere. He was complaining how the next day after the college championship game, all the classes were empty. You know, he took a picture of empty classes, and some of the teachers and faculty members didn't show up, and he was being a whole fuddy-duddy about it. He's like, this is what happens. These college kids didn't come to school. Why is that? Is this game more important than these kids' education? And everybody went to hit him up on Twitter like, dude, You sound like a lot of fun, you know?
Well, Tuesday wasn't the only day that classes were canceled at LSU. I might be wrong about this, but I thought Monday.
Yeah,
I thought they got 2 days off.
Yeah, one of the
they had a 4 day weekend at LSU. They had Monday and Tuesday off.
Yeah,
and think about it, how much work really got done on Tuesday morning? Because that was a late night on Monday night, LSU winning the national championship. How many people either showed up late for work on Tuesday morning, or didn't show up at all? And I remember being here, and we were here on time, and not that much sleep. But we felt so good because we're here in Louisiana with the best college football team on the planet.
Well, here's who did show up to work. Now, remember, on the way coming in, they had all the trash and debris. But when we left the show, the streets were completely clean, like nothing happened. So apparently waste management was doing their job.
Oh, New Orleans is used to that. I used to, in my a few years back, When I stayed up a lot later and quenched my thirst a lot more than I do these days. But I used to love being on St. Charles Avenue and the Lower Garden District and maybe heading towards uptown a little bit. I used to love being there when the parade ended because I would sit there and then I would watch the cleanup crews come and clean up after Mardi Gras. And boy, they've got that down to a science. And it was much the same.
Yeah.
Because Monday night here in New Orleans, records were broken. With they say there was an extra 300,000 people in town for that game, and we talked about it on Tuesday morning in the Warehouse District. You know the bars, Lucy's Retired Surfers Bar there on Chapatoulas. They're on the corner of Chapatoulas and Girard. Girard Street was closed off. And if you saw any pictures, I got to get some of these up on our website. If you saw any of the pictures, there were more people there than there are on Bourbon Street on Mardi Gras Day.
Yeah.
I mean, it was, and then Barcadia, a block up from Lucy's, the side street there, that's Lafayette. That was all closed off as well. And I mean, you couldn't see the pavement.
Exactly. That's because they had the big screens. Bourbon Street didn't have any screens that you can watch the game on, but the people like Barcadia and all that, they had the streets blocked off. They had big screens on the outside of the street that you can watch the game.
Yeah, giant screens outside. And we were telling you on Tuesday morning, there were those bars, they were running out of booze, but you know, because this is New Orleans, they were able to get more, you know, but they said they were having record-breaking nights with the amount of money that they made. That's saying something for New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
So anyways, get your picture taken with the national championship trophy if you want to shoot to Baton Rouge today. Walmart, College Drive from 4 to 7 p.m. And I'm sure it's going to be making its way around, but this is one of the first opportunities. You could be the first on your block to have a picture you standing next to the national championship trophy. How cool is that? Here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. Are you a chicken wing fan? Coleman, I know you love chicken wings. I mean, you deliver them. You work at a chicken wing place sometimes. And I know you're a big wing fan because when we've gone out to get lunch before or we've gone out to get a meal before, a lot of times you order the chicken wings. And I look at you, I say, wait a minute. You work many days at a chicken wing place, at a place that makes chicken wings and that sells chicken wings over on the West Bank. You actually deliver the chicken wings. I would think when we went to someplace else to go out to lunch or to go have a meal somewhere that you would want to get away from chicken wings.
No, you have to keep up with your competition. So what I do is every time we went out to eat, of course, I would order a sample of their wings and I would compare them to the ones that we would sell.
Oh,
then okay. I would report that to my boss and we try to figure out how to compete. So it's like sort of like I'm a secret shopper. And we've done, me and my boss, we've done that plenty of times. We've gone to different chicken establishments. Act like regular customers, tasted their flavors, and we see how we can improve upon it, make it better. And some of them are good. Some of them we can do better.
Well, and obviously chicken wings have become an American staple for a lot of people. The reason I brought this up is because I was just reading Americans are divided over quote-unquote boneless wings. You know, you can go into some places and you can get your chicken wings, mm-hmm. and then they also have the boneless wings. But you probably know boneless wings are not wings.
No.
A boneless chicken wing is nowhere near the wing on the chicken. The boneless chicken wing is part of the breast meat.
Yes.
And now Americans are divided about this. A new survey of American diners has determined that just over 34% feel duped by the term boneless wings. Because again, they're not wings. The boneless wing is nowhere near the wing of the chicken. it's the breast. And this has a lot of Americans upset. Like why would you call something that it's not?
Now I remember right when they started introducing buffalo wings, I was like, wait, buffaloes don't have, I thought it was actually wings of a buffalo, and I was looking at the anatomy of a buffalo. This is when I was a kid. I was like, where's the buffalo wing at? I don't see it. And I thought it was actual buffalo meat. Had no idea it was from a chicken. And then you realize the history, they call it buffalo wings because it started Buffalo, New York, hot sauce and all that. So I really thought a buffalo wing was the wing of a buffalo.
No, when they talked about the buffalo wing, they're talking about the sauce, not the actual meat. But there are people that are upset, and they say it's false advertising. They say a boneless wing is not a wing, and they shouldn't call it that. I wonder how that all started. I like buffalo wings, but I'll be honest with you. I prefer the boneless because, A, they're easier to eat, and I like chicken breast more than I like the actual wing.
Does it bother you that they called the boneless wing a wing instead of a boneless or a breast fillet or whatever other options they could call it?
No, I mean, there are other things in life that bother me a lot more. But there are people out there, I guess, foodies or people that want to make sure that every I is dotted and every T is crossed.
I can understand
that. And then they want to, and they're just wondering. I mean, look, over a third of Americans have a problem with, it's false advertising. It's calling a buffalo wing, a boneless buffalo wing, it's wrong. Because it's not a wing.
Now, last year, me and my boss got into an argument about a new product that we're selling called thigh wings. And it's actually the dark meat of the chicken that they've condensed to make it sort of like a wing. Like it's on a bone, just like a chicken wing, but it's the dark meat of a chicken that they get from the thigh. And we call it thigh wings. And me and my boss had an argument about what to call the product. I was like, well, how could you call it a thigh wing? Because a thigh isn't a wing. But he was saying, no, it's the way that it's cut like a wing. That was his argument. So we do call it a thigh wing, but it's not a wing at all. It's just a thigh that we call a thigh wing. I said, that's like calling my arm foot. Like, why would you call it a thigh wing if it's not a wing at all? And he guided me through the process of why they promoted it and called it a thigh wing. But it's the way that it's cut like a wing. So they call it a wing. A wing is like a shape.
I mean, I know we're getting into semantics here, but there's a third of a country, a little more than the third of the United States of America, are not happy that they call boneless buffalo wings boneless buffalo wings because you're eating chicken breast. You're not eating the buffalo wing. And I guess they came up with that name because usually if you go to a restaurant, the chicken wings, buffalo wings with the bones in them, they're usually appetizer. They're on the appetizer mm-hmm. menu. And maybe kids didn't like them because, I mean, they were tough to eat and sometimes they're messy. And so maybe when they came up with the boneless option, maybe it was for kids. Maybe it was for people who didn't like to make that much of a mess when they ate. I mean, what else would you call them? I mean,
a chicken nugget?
Well, that's the thing, Coleman. These Americans in this poll I just read, they say all boneless buffalo wings are glorified chicken nuggets.
That's exactly what they are.
It's like you put two or three chicken nuggets together and voila, all of a sudden you've got a boneless buffalo wing.
So I don't know the origin, but I have two theories. One, the term chicken nugget was probably trademarked or copyrighted, so they couldn't use that when they were coming up with the product of a boneless wing in certain companies, or they really were trying to dupe people into thinking that it's a part of a wing to make it more edible.
How great were those boneless buffalo wings we had Monday at Vintage Rock Club at the LSU National Championship pregame party?
They were pretty good, yeah.
Fantastic. And for me, what puts the exclamation point on them, you got to dip them in blue cheese dressing.
See?
I get the buffalo sauce with the blue cheese dressing, and are you kidding? I'm happy for 2 weeks.
We're going into the whole I eat funny thing. I don't eat ranch or blue cheese. I like the wings straight as they are with the sauce as is. I don't need the dip. I don't need a dipping sauce. I don't need anything on the side. I can just go for the straight wing.
How about that? Well, I don't think there's going to be any name change of the boneless buffalo wing coming in the near future, even though we just found out that a little over a third of Americans have an issue with these things being called boneless buffalo wings, because again, they have nothing to do with the wing. The boneless buffalo wing comes from the breast, yeah. But I guess boneless buffalo breast doesn't sound as good.
Yeah, it's not as bad as turkey bacon or an Impossible Whopper. Now those, they'll dupe you.
All right. Do you prefer the, see, I would prefer the boneless over the, if you said you can only have one. Do you want just the regular wings with the actual wings with the bones in them, or do you want what they call boneless buffalo wings, which is chicken breast cut up? I would prefer the boneless. Easier to eat.
Yep, just call it boneless chicken nuggets, I guess.
That's just me. Coming up on the show, Mike Tyson's kids don't like black people.
Oh, boy.
He just did an interview, and he said his kids do not like black people. We're going to explain, and we're going to find out why he thinks that is. That's coming up here on Bayou 95.7.
Chicken!
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. So, Mike Tyson, who was the scariest fighter that I've ever seen in my lifetime. I remember when Mike Tyson came up, and I tell you, I didn't think there was a fighter in the world who could beat Mike Tyson. I mean, he's a heavyweight, and meaning you could think of every great fighter who's not a heavyweight. I mean, Tyson would never, like Sugar Ray Leonard or Roberto Duran, or you could start naming great fighters who weren't heavyweights, and they were the greatest fighters in their weight class. Because Mike Tyson was a heavyweight, I thought Mike Tyson was those first few years, he was the greatest fighter who ever lived, and he was the scariest human being to ever get into a boxing ring.
I agree with that. I think 20s Mike Tyson, this is a personal confession, is the scariest person that I've ever seen. Like, I watched videos of his interviews, and I legitimately at the time thought Mike Tyson is the only person that I fear, and I don't admit that much. But that was the 20s, Mike Tyson. Nowadays, in his older age, he seems a little bit more reasonable, and he isn't as scary.
Well, wait a minute. I still wouldn't want to run into him in an alley.
I have a beer with him now.
And have him be pissed off at me.
No, now I would chill with him. I would hang out with him. Lately, he's been calm. He's been peaceful. But 20s, Mike Tyson, nah, he scared me.
Well, he just went on some rapper's podcast, and he said that his children don't like black people. That's what he said, Mike Tyson, and he's blaming himself. He said it hurts him because his children don't like black people, and they only date other races. He blamed himself for his children's dating preferences. By the way, he's got 7 kids, right?
Something like that. I just seen a family photo. It's stacked.
And he says that he failed as a parent, and because he failed as a father, that's why his children don't like black people.
I think he's wrong. I think he thinks that just because his children aren't dating black people, that automatically means they hate black people. I don't think his children hates black people. I think his children just prefer to date outside their race because that's what they're attracted to. That doesn't necessarily mean they hate black people.
He said, quote, you know what bothers me too, man? And I got to say this.
You got to say this.
Why my kids don't like black kids? They don't date black kids. Why is that? Sometimes I look at my daughter, I see she's attracted to white guys, and I think, I didn't set a good example as a black man. Then they must have seen me sometimes when I was vulnerable and said, hey, I don't want to be with no one like that. He's scary.
Mike Tyson was vulnerable? I don't see that at all. I don't see any weakness
in
that.
When he bit off Evander Holyfield's ear, he was vulnerable in that situation.
I guess. But no, I think he's just looking at it wrong. I think the fact that he doesn't see his kids dating within his race, he automatically thinks that that means they hate. I don't think they hate black people. I don't think so at all.
Well, he does.
Yeah, I think he's wrong on that.
Anyway, I just thought it was interesting to hear Mike Tyson in an interview say that his kids don't like black people.
If you had a daughter, which was white, and she only dated black guys, would you think that she hated white people?
I don't know. I don't know. But I'm not a world famous former heavyweight champion of the world, so I wouldn't know. I wouldn't know. All right, coming up next, Coleman. The state of Tennessee has they put a couple of new laws on the books, and they're really, really bothering the LGBTQ community, the letter people. We'll tell you why that group of people is so upset with a couple of these new laws that Tennessee just enacted. Stay tuned for that coming up. Here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. Good morning. It's the John Osterlind Morning Show. This cheating scandal that's going on right now in Major League Baseball is it's pretty historic. When they're still investigating. If you're not familiar with what's going on, Major League Baseball suspended or kicked out of the league the manager and the general manager of the Houston Astros because their investigation showed that they were using technology to steal signs during the Astros 2017 season a couple of years ago when they won the World Series. And even though stealing signs has been going on in baseball since the 1800s, since baseball started, the opposing team trying to steal the signs, because if the batter knows what pitch is coming, it's much easier for that batter to be successful in getting hits if he knows what pitch is coming. And this investigation is something else. It showed that during the 2017 season, the Houston Astros set up a camera in center field, and then they installed a monitor right outside of their dugout, and they would watch the monitor from that center field camera that they set up, and they would catch the catcher's signs, and then when they realized, oh, this is going to be a breaking ball, they would bang on a garbage can. And so the player is the batter is in the batter's box, and he'd hear the banging. He would hear his teammates banging on a garbage can in the dugout, and he knew this is going to be a breaking ball. It's not going to be a fastball. It's not going to be a curveball. It's going to be a change of pace. It's going to be a breaking ball. And they would sit on those pitches, and when Major League a few of the former Houston Astros players were talking about this, and the word got out, and that's how Major League Baseball got involved and started investigating, and now a bunch of former players admitted that this happened, and so when baseball found out about this last week, they suspended the Houston Astros general manager and their manager each for 1 year. They said, for this upcoming season, you're out of baseball because you can't cheat like that. And then right after Major League Baseball made the announcement that those two guys were suspended for the year, the Houston Astros owner fired the Houston Astros general manager and manager. And now it's not just them, but the guy who was the quote-unquote ringleader of this whole thing in 2017, he was the bench coach of the Houston Astros. His name's Cora. And after that year, he went and became the manager of the Boston Red Sox. And they won the World Series. And the Boston Red Sox just fired Alex Cora, their manager, as a result of this Major League Baseball investigation. And there are other players. The current manager of the New York Mets, Carlos Beltran, was a player with the Astros. And he knew all about, you know, the camera in center field hooked up to the monitor right outside the dugout. And then when they figured out which pitch was going to, they would bang on the garbage can. Now, he hasn't even managed a game yet because he was just hired as Mets manager a couple of weeks ago. He may get fired even before he managed one game. He may get fired even before they hit spring training. And so more dominoes are falling here. And the big question is, should anything else happen? Some people are saying that the Red Sox did this in 2018. Major League Baseball is still investigating that, and they haven't released their statement on that. So that would mean the last two World Series champions, 2017 and 2018, last year was the Washington Nationals, but 2017 and 2018, the Astros and the Red Sox won World Series by cheating.
Now, is the use of technology, that's what makes it cheating? Because I'm thinking to myself, if a coach is just being perceptive and he doesn't have the technology and he's noticing the signs and he just happens to pick up on it and he figures it out and now he's yelling at the batter, watch out for the curve, watch out for the curve. Is that considered cheating? Because even though he didn't use technology, he figured out the signs. Now he's yelling at his batter over the diamond.
That's they would never yell like that because the pitcher would hear him.
Yeah,
and then change the signs.
If they could figure it out without the technology, is that necessarily cheating?
It's the technology.
Right,
angle.
That's what makes it cheating then.
Because, again, Coleman, this has been going on ever since baseball started. The teams try to get any advantage they possibly can get. And again, if you can steal signs, a hit and run, if you know a guy is going to steal a base, then you could pitch out. And then you could easily throw him out at second base. That kind of thing's been going on forever. It's the technology.
It's the technology that makes it all bad.
It's the fact now that we have the technology that you could set up a camera in center field and then have that hooked up to a monitor that's right outside the dugout, and then you can figure out the catcher's signs. And again, if a batter knows what, you know, they have said the hardest thing to do in all of sports is to hit Major League Baseball pitching. That's mm-hmm. the hardest thing to do. Again, you're successful if you fail 70% of the time. If you're a 300 hitter, that means, and by the way, a 300 hitter is fantastic in baseball. If you hit 300, that means you failed 7 out of 10 times. You only got 3 hits in 10 at-bats.
I mean, I've hit more balls than I've sunk holes in one, so I think that's kind of skewed.
Well, we could have that argument. I mean, hitting a golf ball is tough. But how about tackling a running back in the open field? I mean, I think of the days of Earl Campbell or that running back right now that's on the Tennessee Titans, Derrick Henry. 240 pounds coming at you, putting his head down. That's hard too.
Yeah.
We could talk about the hardest thing to do in sports at another time.
So here's what I think is going to happen, though. I think now other teams are now trying to unhook their little monitors and their little, because it's going to be a full-on investigation.
Well, they're saying there's a lot more teams now that are going to get in trouble for this, and baseball's looking at this. But should anything happen? I mean, they can't take the 2017 World Series away from the Houston Astros. Maybe you could change their name to the Houston Asterix. put an asterisk next to their name that they won the World Series that year. And now they're about to find out the Boston Red Sox cheated in the 2018 World Series. Not very surprising when you think what else happens up in New England with Bill Belichick and the Patriots. They've been caught cheating a couple of times. But the Red Sox now, it looks like they did the same thing in 2018 that the Astros did in 2017. And this is fascinating stuff. If you're listening right now, if you want to text us, should anything happen? Should they take the World Series away from the Houston Astros in 2017? Because they cheated. There's no doubt about it now. And again, even though stealing signs has been going on forever, it's the technology. It's the
technology that makes it cheat.
That's why now, because they've gone out of their way. It's premeditated. I mean, they had to bring in specialists to set things up and to hook things up. And then it comes down to when they see something, they bang on a garbage can so the player that's in the batter's box can hear that. And, oh, boy. And they said this was some intricate system that they had. And what people who are familiar with this are saying is that it's not just the Astros. It's not just the Red Sox. More teams are going to be implicated. This is baseball's biggest scandal since the steroids.
And when they investigated,
since the performance-enhancing drugs.
When they investigated the Astros, they say about 23 players came out and admitted that's what happened.
Yeah.
How loyal are those players? All of them snitched? 23 people snitched, so they must not like the organization too much.
Well, either they got traded or they got released. They weren't happy with the contracts they had. But if you're listening right now, should those World Series be taken away? Again, I don't know if you could strip them of the World Series championship. But you could definitely maybe put an asterisk there saying, well, you know, they won their World Series because they had technological advancement.
Yep.
What do you think? Should anything happen? Text us. Keep your text short and sweet. And if it's good, we'll read it on the air. And if you even want to put your name or your initials right after your text, again, just keep it short and sweet. And let us know what you think about this. Our number is 504-260-9595. Text it to 260-9595, and please don't text while you're driving.
And standard and data message rates apply.
Coming up, we still have the dumbest thing I read all morning. And Zion Williamson is finally coming back. I thought it was going to be last Friday night.
Yeah!
No, it's actually going to be one night next week. Stay tuned for that, because not just Pelicans fans are looking forward to that. But all of NBA fans, he's the number one overall pick. Stay tuned for those reports coming up here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. So Zion Williamson will finally make his Pelicans NBA debut six nights from now. Wednesday night at home here at the Smoothie King Center against the... against the team that stole our name to begin with, against the Utah Jazz. Zion Williamson makes his debut. This is huge, not just for Pelicans and Pelicans fans, but for the NBA. He's the number one overall pick. People want to see him play. As a matter of fact, if you were listening to our show last week, at the end of the week, I was given some information by someone who works in our building here that I thought was connected with the Pelicans, and he told me that Zion's going to make his debut on Friday night in New York against the Knicks. This was last week. And so I came on the show, I think either Thursday or Friday last week, saying, hey, Zion's, I was just told Zion's going to make his debut. That didn't happen. I felt awful when I turned that game on ESPN, and there was Zion on the bench, but he was just wearing his black suit. I was like, damn it. And the next day when I came into the building here where we work, and the guy who told me that information, I said, where do you get your information from? He goes, no, that's what I was told. So now I know I got to mark him off my list when someone gets insider information about something. But Zion Williamson will make his debut six nights from today, Wednesday night, next Wednesday, against... I just gave you some more bad information. It's not going to be against the Utah Jazz. It's going to be against the San Antonio Spurs. Okay, so Wednesday night...
Get it together over there, John.
Here in New Orleans, Zion Williamson makes his debut against the San Antonio Spurs. And boy, if you want to know what a difference Zion Williamson makes, if you go on StubHub or SeatGeek right now, or any place where you can get tickets in the secondary market for games, I guarantee you can get tickets for the next Pelicans home game tonight, tomorrow night. I bet you can get tickets, I think it's tonight, for $5 or $6. You'll see what those tickets will be going for on the secondhand market when Zion Williamson makes his debut Wednesday night against San Antonio. Where do you see?
Are you sure that's what it is?
Yeah,
Wednesday night
against San Antonio.
Okay. All right,
and I'm so excited. I'm a big hoops fan, and I can't wait to see Zion Williamson. And as bad as the Pelicans have been this year, they're only four games out of the playoff spot, the last playoff spot. And then there's still, 50 games to go?
All right, so they can turn it around.
Absolutely. Great news. Coming up next, it's the dumbest thing I read all morning. Hang out with us here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. And since it's just about 8:35, this is the time of our show where we tell you the dumbest thing I read all morning. Half naked sex offender tries to sneak in woman's doggy door. Do you have one of those, if you have a pet, do you have one of those little doors that it could be for little doggies or little cats that can get in and out of your house very easily? Well, this is what happened out in California. A convicted sex offender was caught getting naked and trying to sneak into a California couple's home through their doggy door. 48-year-old Leroy Vance.
You idiot!
Was spotted outside of a home in suburban Fairfield, California by a woman who believed he was a burglar. As the woman was on the phone with police, Vance took off his pants and attempted to sneak into the home first through a sliding door, but he failed, and then through a doggy door. You know those little doggy doors on the...
That's not how it works. That's not how any of this works.
Now, the woman in the home lives there with her husband, and they've lived there at that same address for 20 years. They were pretty shaken up by this. I mean, imagine if you had one of those little doggy doors for your pets, and all of a sudden you see a man outside taking his clothes off, taking his pants off, and then sticking his head through your doggy door.
Clearly, this guy didn't learn his lesson. He was already a registered sex offender, so they must have let him out on good behavior or something like that. I don't know what he did previously, but he didn't get over it. He wasn't rehabilitated at all.
The woman's husband said, quote, he dropped his drawers and mooned her and was trying to get her outside. Ew. The husband said, quote, I didn't want him to do anything to my wife. So this guy, Leroy Vance, is a sex offender who had cut off his ankle monitor. He hopped over fences in an attempt to get away when the police showed up.
Dude, you know how strong your urge has to be where you had to cut off your ankle monitor, then try to sneak into a doggy door? I'm guessing the guy can't fit, but that urge that he had was so insatiable and so compelling that he ripped off his ankle monitor, hopped fences to dodge police, and tried to sneak into a doggy door while a woman's husband is still in there, and none of that registered in his head. Like, this might not be a good idea.
Coleman, that's a sickness.
It is.
Well, let me ask you something real quick. You know, sex offenders like this, people that can't control themselves sexually, how come they don't call that a disease like alcoholism or drug addiction? When people can't control themselves with drinking booze or doing drugs, that's a disease, a quote-unquote disease. Yet people can't control themselves with sex. Guys will cut off ankle monitors and try to get into a doggy door in a house. That's not a disease, too, a quote-unquote disease. See, I've always had an issue with alcoholism and drug addiction being called a disease. They say one of Joe Biden's sons, Hunter Biden, he's a drug addict. He has a disease. Well, he smokes crack and he impregnates strippers. You know, that's a little bit different. You're fighting that disease by impregnating strippers.
I think they mean,
you know, my mother died of cancer.
Right.
That's a disease.
That's a disease. Right. What they're trying to say is addiction is a disease. So in the case of this guy, if he's addicted to whatever he's compelled, that should be considered a disease.
Okay, that's fair then.
Right.
So these sex offenders, if they have a mental illness and they can't control their addiction and they just want to do sex with everybody they see, no matter where they go. But you don't see that in the media. You don't see sex offenders, people that can't control themselves and their sexual desires. You don't see them being treated the same way as alcoholics or drug addicts. Wouldn't it be all under the same quote-unquote disease umbrella?
Please remember, John Osterlin is not a medical doctor.
No, but call me old school. To me, cancer is a disease.
Yeah.
Anyways, the half-naked sex offender who tried to sneak in a woman's doggy door is the dumbest thing that I read all morning. Here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. We were talking about the investigation going on right now in Major League Baseball. This is the biggest black eye that baseball has had since the steroids scandal. This is the Houston Astros using technology to cheat, to steal signs. Even though signs have been stolen since the 1800s when baseball started, this is the first time that they are busting people for using technology. The Houston Astros set up a camera in center field, and they had the monitor right outside the dugout, and their general manager and their manager from their 2017 World Series championship team, they were first suspended for 1 year by Major League Baseball, but then right after that, the owner of the Astros fired both of those guys. The bench coach at the time, who currently is the coach of the manager of the Boston Red Sox, Alex Cora, he was just fired yesterday, and they're saying more are gonna be going down because this thing is expanding, and they're saying it looks like other teams now have used technology to cheat, to steal signs. And I asked you, should they take away the Houston Astros World Series championship? I said, I don't know if they could do that, but maybe just call them the Houston Asterix and put an asterisk there. Coleman, what do you got with the texts?
Real quick, one guy says, if we got killed for Bountygate, give them hell. To hell with them.
How about that?
All right. EL says, take it from them. Cheating is cheating. Christian from NOLA says, if the players admitted to cheating, the team should be stripped of their title and the players should return their championship ring.
How about that?
No, you can't remove the title. 162 games a season and only 81 games were home games that used the technology.
That's right. When the Astros went on the road for the other half of their schedule, they didn't have that technology set up in their dugout during road games.
A few more good ones. J.D. Slash says, anything short of stripping the teams of the World Series wins is basically incentivizing other teams to cheat in order to win a championship.
Did you say J.D. Sledge?
J.D. Sledge.
Yeah. Are you talking about the New Orleans stand-up comic, J.D. Sledge?
I hope so. He's a cool guy, man. And we're looking to go to the Lakeview Harbor deal that you got going on, man.
What's up, J.D.? Thanks for unless there's more J.D. Sledges out there.
And we
there,
just seen Kuso on TV trying to push cars. How about
that's
that?
Right, that's
really,
right.
Really comic central day. Kathy says, if you have to cheat to win a title, you don't deserve it. Give the win to the opposite team.
Okay. All right. Well, we love hearing from you.
Yeah, the rest of the texts are just people telling me how much I suck. Good job, guys. I take that into consideration.
Well, and look, we like it when you text. And like I always say, keep them short, sweet, and pithy.
Yep.
And if they're good, we'll read them on the air. And if you want, throw in, just put a little dash in your first name or your initials right at the end. So we will give you recognition. We love it when you take part in the radio show.
Great job today, Texas.
Coming up next, it's our commercial free ride. And you're going to hear a commercial that was banned by television stations. And you'll easily see why. But I don't know if this thing should have been banned or not. Wait till you hear this commercial coming up next here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. did you hear about, and if you heard about it, did you watch it? And I'm talking about the video that's gone viral from Monday night's national championship football game that LSU won here in New Orleans, of LSU coach Ed Orgeron picking his nose and then eating it. That video's popped up on my on a few of my feeds, and I have not clicked play. I just keep scrolling down. You know, I find I do that these days. The older I get,
what, pick your nose?
No. If there's something that I don't like, or someone says something on social media that I don't like, and it's just so, life is so much easier just to keep scrolling down instead of stopping and then challenging that person and then getting into a back and forth with that person. So I handled the Ed Orgeron video of him picking his nose and eating it right on the sideline, right during the national championship game on Monday night here in the Superdome. I treated that video like I treat someone saying something that I disagree with, or maybe when I was younger, back in the day, I would have taken the time to click play on that and just to watch it, like I've never seen someone pick their nose and eat it before. You know what I mean?
I mean,
like, what difference does it make? He's now a national championship college coach. Like, I've never seen that before. You know,
if you have some downtime this weekend, we could watch it together. I don't have anything to do.
You know, people say that about people who make negative comments on social media's posts. They say, you know, you could have just kept scrolling down instead of stopping your day, taking the time out of your, well, not so busy schedule to make fun of something that someone posted on social media. But that's, people put stuff out there and they have to, they have to expect to get all kinds of different reactions.
Twitter is doing this thing now where you can tweet something as a statement. And what that is you can tweet something out, but select not to have anybody reply to it. Everybody can see your tweet, and you can select not to have people reply to the tweet to get an adverse dissenting opinion or whatever your tweet is.
That's interesting, Coleman. So I take it you didn't watch that video.
No, it hasn't come across my feed yet.
Oh, you haven't seen it?
I haven't seen it. Nope.
Oh, yeah. People are freaking out, and it's just like, duh, like you've never seen somebody pick their nose and eat it before. Okay, this just happens to be at Orgeron, you know.
I'm more interested in somebody approaching Coach O about it, like, hey, did you see this video? Would you like to comment on it? I'll be interested in that. But seeing the video itself, no, I'm not into that.
Yeah. And that's just about going to do it for our show today. Thank you for listening. We appreciate it. Ginty is coming up next. Ginty. Got your music notes at noon. We'll chat again tomorrow morning around 5:30 here on Bayou 95.7.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.